Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the beginning of a teaching series entitled Jesus Christ, Our Passover. The theme verse for this particular series is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where in verse 7 it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is, or was, sacrificed for us." So quite clearly here in one of the church epistles, Christ is referred to as our Passover, and specifically mention is made that he was sacrificed for us. He was sacrificed in our place, or as a substitute for us. Instead of us dying, Jesus Christ paid the price. He was sacrificed for us, for all Christians. Now, to understand this, Jesus Christ as our Passover necessitates understanding the original Passover. And what we're going to initiate this particular teaching series is with a little review of Israel's history. You might remember that one of the 12 sons of Israel, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, was named Joseph. And Joseph, through a series of ungodly events, wound up being a slave in Egypt. But he continued to believe God, and as he believed God, God delivered him and opened incredible doors for Joseph in Egypt, so much so that Joseph rose up to become the right-hand man of Pharaoh. In fact, he was so trusted by Pharaoh that Pharaoh put the whole country under Joseph's stewardship. And when the world encountered an incredible famine, well, Joseph, as the steward of Egypt, had prepared for it. He had been warned of God of what was coming. He had stored up grain out in the times of plenty against the time of famine. And as a result, basically, the wealth of the world came to Egypt. Because people from all over to get grain had to come to Egypt and buy it from Joseph, buy it from the Egyptians, including Joseph's family, his father Jacob, who's also called Israel, and his 11 brothers, all came in this time of famine into Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. And then through a series of events, they realized that this was their lost brother, and they wound up moving and relocating to Egypt. And when the children of Israel resided in Egypt, they grew and prospered. They multiplied like crazy. In fact, so much so that the Egyptians started to fear the Israelites. Because they were becoming so strong. And even though, they were not from Egypt, they had grown so much in Egypt that the Egyptians became afraid of them. And the Bible declares that there arose another Pharaoh, and it was really a Pharaoh of a different line than Joseph's original Pharaoh. And that Pharaoh knew not Joseph, nor did he know Joseph's God. And so he put the children of Israel into slavery. The people had been afraid of Israel, and now this Pharaoh rose who knew not Joseph nor Joseph's God. And so he enslaved the children of Israel, and he gave them hard tasks, strenuous work to do. They were slaves in Egypt. They were making bricks without straw. Well, these were God's people, and God didn't like seeing his people being enslaved. So God rose up the man Moses as the deliverer for the children of Egypt. Remember God, or the children of Israel in Egypt. And you'll remember that God spoke out of a burning bush to Moses. Moses came to learn about God, and Moses was sent by God to Pharaoh to let, with the message of, let my people go. But Pharaoh hardened his heart against God's word, against this message that Moses had brought. And as a result, there arose great consequence against Pharaoh and against Egypt. And this is outlined in the book of Exodus. What is detailed are the 10 plagues against Pharaoh and against Egypt. And these plagues, by the way, were against the gods of the Egyptians, is one of the things that's described. Like, for example, one of the plagues was that the river Nile turned into blood. Well, it just so happens that the Egyptians worshipped the river god. The river god was called Nu, spelled N-U. So this was a judgment, this was a plague against the gods of Egypt. And amazingly, when you read the beginning chapters of Exodus, amazingly, Pharaoh continued to harden his heart during the midst of all these plagues. He continued to refuse the simple request to let my people go. So finally, the 10th and final plague arose, and this was the plague against the firstborn of all the Egyptians, including the firstborn of Pharaoh's house and the firstborn of the other Egyptians and of their animals, a tremendous plague of devastation. And it was in this context of this 10th and final plague that the original Passover was given by revelation from God to the children of Israel for them to observe. So to see this, let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Now, in a few minutes, I encapsulated a lot of Judean history. Certainly throughout this teaching series of Jesus Christ, our Passover, you'd be well advised to go back and read to fill in the gaps to so that you become familiar with these records. This will be a wonderful encouragement over the next number of weeks for you to simply read your Bible. Well, reading Exodus is a good idea. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year." Now, back in Moses' day, Moses and the other Hebrews called this first month Abib, spelled A-B-I-B. It was the first month of the year, just like we have a first month. It's called January. This month shall be the first month of the year. Later, the children of Israel, while captives in Babylon, changed the name of this month to Nisan. And that's not the Japanese car, but Nisan, spelled N-I-S-A-N. And for sake of clarity, we will be calling throughout this study session this first month of the year the month of Nisan. And then it says in verse 3, "Speak ye into all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." In verse 7 it says, verse 6 it says, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month." So on the 10th day of Nisan is the selection of the Passover lamb. Then on the 14th day of the month, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, this term, in the evening, In English, we think of in the evening as, you know, dinner time, right? Or maybe after dinner. But this had a specific meaning in the Hebrew language, in the evening, because it literally can be translated between the evenings. And this was the period of time that we would call later afternoon, but usually on most days, the sun would get to its height, its apex, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it would head towards sunset, say approximately at 6 p.m. And this is the period of time between the evenings, from approximately 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. by our reckoning. So on the 14th day of Nisan, it says, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall, what? Eat it. Now, this is strange behavior, you have to would say, to kill a lamb and then to take its blood and strike it on the opening, you know, the doorway of your house. You know, the side posts, the lintel of the doorway, they were to paint with the blood of the Passover lamb. Now, I think in most communities, this would probably be frowned on. You know, probably would go against your covenants, codes, and restrictions. You know, certainly a decorating risk might hurt the resale value of your house. But let's remember, this is what God is instructing the children of Israel to do. To take the blood of the lamb, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house wherein ye shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So there's two parts to this Passover observance. The blood of the lamb and the flesh of the lamb. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, nor boiled at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence, or with the innards thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You know, one of the gods of Egypt was Pharaoh. You know, so this is a judgment against Pharaoh. You know, they would worship Pharaoh. If all the firstborn would be smitten as the Lord passed through the land of Egypt. Verse 13, it says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So, you know, as I was making light, this was a decorating risk. This is, you know, odd behavior to put blood on a doorpost. But how significant was it? Well, it basically saved the lives of the Judeans. You know, it saved the lives because as a result of seeing the blood of the lamb, they were passed over. This plague had no effect on them. So there's two significant parts to the observance of the Passover, the flesh of the lamb and the blood of the lamb. And the blood of the lamb, very currently, very obviously, very clearly, is a covering for the sins of Israel. This is, you know, the law that God set up for the atonement of sins. Look at Leviticus chapter 17. Next book over in the books of Moses, Leviticus 17. See, this is a law that God set up. It's we'll be reading about here in Leviticus and also in the book of Hebrews. But it's that atonement, that the covering, the handling of sins is based upon a blood covering. Leviticus 17, verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is where? In the blood." It's where the life of the flesh is, in the blood. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." See, it's the blood that is an atonement for the souls of mankind. "For it is the blood which makes an atonement for the" what? "Soul." Look at Hebrews chapter 9. This is a law that God set up. Here it's stated quite clearly in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." And here's the law. "And without shedding of blood is no remission." So from God's point of view, from God's justice, what is required for an atonement for the soul? What is required for the remission of sins? Well, it's the shedding of blood. And that's exactly what occurred on this original Passover. The lamb was sacrificed in between the evenings, you know, in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, and then was eaten by the children of Israel on the 15th of Nisan. One thing that's important to note as we work through these varied records is that Israelitic reckoning of time is different than ours. They didn't start their days at midnight. Really, when you stop and think about it, midnight is kind of a crazy time to start a day, isn't it? But that's when we start our days, and we just take it for granted. Well, their day started at sunset. So at sunset, the 14th of Nisan would conclude, and then the 15th of Nisan would start. And this is the time that they would eat this Passover meal. Let's go back. On our way back to Exodus, let's go to Psalm 105. Now, the Passover meal consisted of eating the flesh of the lamb. Psalm 105. The blood, we've seen, made an atonement for their souls. It's with the shedding of blood that there's remission of sins. But, okay, well, what about the flesh of the lamb? What did that accomplish? Well, Psalm 105 gives great insight, because this is a recounting of the plagues and then also of this original Passover. But it says, here's the plagues. Let's read verse 27. "They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham." Now, that's not where there's a lot of comedians living or a bunch of pigs either. The land of Ham, it's part of Egypt. "He sent darkness and made it dark." You know, if God sends darkness, you know what it's going to be? Dark. "And they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. I mentioned that earlier. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers, you know, varied sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. These are the plagues, the 10 plagues of Egypt. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number. You can see my amazement that Pharaoh's heart wouldn't change when all this devastation was occurring in his land. And they did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in the land, the chief of all their strength. This is the 10th and final plague, the night of the original Passover. And then it says, he, God, brought them, Israel, forth also with silver and gold. Remember, Egypt was the wealthiest nation upon earth because God, by working with a man named Joseph, had brought that wealth into Egypt. It was by God's wisdom that Egyptians so prospered. Well, on the night of the Passover, the Israelites went to the Egyptians and asked for their riches. And the Egyptians were so happy to see these guys go that they gave them unto it. So God brought them forth with silver and gold. And look at this. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, some estimates have given the original number of Israelites leaving Egypt that night as 2.5 million. And this was derived from calculating that a figure in the Bible that says that there were 600,000 men. And then if you calculated, you know, women and children, you could come up to a figure of, say, approximately 2.5 million. About 2.5 million people leaving Egypt that night in the Exodus. And here it says there was not one feeble person among them. Not one. You know, it's hard to find a fellowship of believers or a congregation of Christians where there's not one feeble person amongst us. On this night, the children of Israel had eaten physical health to their bodies when they ate that Passover meal. That's what occurred. God healed them all. You know, there's a verse in the New Testament that says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Well, how about this verse, verse 37, as a representation of God's prosperity and God's health? He brought them forth with the silver and gold of Egypt, and there was not one feeble person among them. Why? Because they had eaten the Passover meal and had all gotten healed. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. There's another example of the Passover being celebrated later at the time of Hezekiah. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, again, this is under the leadership of King Hezekiah. It says in verse 15, "Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month." Now, to work this through, there was provision given in the law of Moses that if people had missed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, Nisan, then they could do it on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings unto the house of the Lord. So this was, you know, after a period of time where they had not been celebrating the Passover, but they got it back together again, and they did it. But the result of this, look at what it says. In verse 20, it says, "And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the," what? "People." It's the result of eating the Passover meal. The people got healed. See, so the two parts of the Passover, one was the flesh of the lamb, which they ate, and it brought healing wholeness to their bodies. And then the other part of the lamb was the blood, and the lamb was the covering for their sins. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. This is the original Passover. This is the first time it had ever been done. And what a critical juncture. In so many ways, this particular event is the focal point of Israel's history. It's the focal point of what God has done for the children of Judea. It's the one that, from the rest of the Old Testament, from here on out, that God keeps reminding Israel of. He keeps saying, "I am the God that brought thee out of the house of bondage, that brought thee out of Egypt." And it's really such a wonderful focal point of Israel's history that people could look back on it and say, "Hey, if God could do that for our fathers back then, what can't he do for us now?" This is a time of great deliverance. Remember, Israel has been slaves. They had hard taskmasters, you know, that didn't treat them well. They gave them these really lousy jobs to do. They were slaves in Egypt. But now God is delivering them out of their bondage, out of their slavery. And to initiate this wonderful deliverance is the first Passover. In verse 21 of Exodus chapter 12, I'm in Exodus chapter 11, let's get to Exodus 12, it says, verse 21, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons," how long? "Forever. And it shall come to pass that when you come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What meaneth ye by this service? Then ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped." So they ate this Passover meal, and it was that night that they left Egypt, that they just got up, they packed up all their stuff, and they began their exodus unto the promised land. Later, this Passover celebration was formalized in the law of Moses. It became a part of the law of Moses. Remember, Exodus 12 is before the giving of the law to Moses at Sinai. That happened when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness. But the Passover is formalized in the law of Moses. To see some of this, look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. It says in verse 1, observe the month of Abib. This is later changed to Nisan. And keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and of the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Now, this place in which the Lord shall choose to place his name there, from many other references in the Old Testament to this place, is Jerusalem. So part of the change that occurred in the formalization of the law of Moses was that the Passover was to be celebrated at Jerusalem. And then it says in verse 3, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no unleavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days, neither shall there be any thing of the flesh which thou sacrifice the first day at even, again, between the evenings, remains all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of the gates of the city of Jerusalem, which the Lord thy God gives thee. But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover between the evenings at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. And then it goes on to describe the subsequent days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because really the Passover meal, which would have occurred on what we would call the evening of Nisan 15, was the beginning event of this Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is further described in verse 16, the Passover. It says, 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, that's Jerusalem, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is in the first month of Nisan, and in the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So you can see that how in the law of Moses here in Deuteronomy 16, that there's some additions and there's some changes made to what was celebrated in that night of Egypt in the first Passover. Notably, that the Passover lamb would be sacrificed outside the gates of Jerusalem, and that it was be the part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that this was one of the 3 feasts where all the males of Israel would appear before the Lord at Jerusalem. So this background information on the original Passover helps us greatly to understand the events of Jesus Christ, our Passover. And we'll continue that in our next session.